Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. In 2017, we're celebrating 25 years of helping people win. Today, we have a great word from Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? Huh? Man, how many of you guys are finishing 2017 strong? That's what I say. I say, and whether you thought you were or not, I say now you act like you are and finish strong. And I think that's important. And I want to talk to you about finishing today. If you guys didn't understand how I work, this wasn't planned. I just kind of blind hawk found an acorn here. And the idea of us finishing this year, what's important is that we're great finishers. And that's what God promises us. He promises us just incredible finish. But I think that we have to live our lives. I heard this, and I don't normally do this, but I rushed to get a pen and a piece of paper when I heard this, and I wrote it down, that we have to live a life of a sustained pattern of public persuasion. A sustained pattern of public persuasion. That we're living our lives, not just by what we're saying, And things that we do, but who we are. We have to live a life that persuades the world and persuades people to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. And you can either, in our lives, we can either suffer the pain of discipline. You know, being a disciple, there's a pain in that. It's the sufferings of Christ that we live our lives where we live a disciplined life. We can either suffer that pain, there's a pain of disappointment. And see, what God wants to do is God wants to give us, man, an appointment in our lives. But in order to live that life of appointment, there's sacrifices that we have to take and that we have to go through. And what's interesting is it's not like, oh, I made that sacrifice, now I'm rolling. No, it's a life of sacrifice. It's a life of suffering. It's a life of discipline. I don't know about you, but any bit of discipline that I put on my life, I suffer through it. It's painful. And I think that we've got to understand that. You know, the Bible in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says, in the New King James, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In the Amplified, in Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking away. Okay, this is interesting. It says, looking away. And it's talking about looking away from the distractions of our lives. See, in the New King James, it says, and the New American Standard, it says, looking unto him. In the Amplified, it says, looking away from those things that distract us. I think this is important. See, I think that we could look at our lives and the disciplines of our lives, and we could look at them, and we can say, okay, I got to change some things. I'm going to make some resolutions, and man, I'm going to figure out the resolutions. And I think there's probably, all of us have probably a top five or a top six. We're going to get fit. We're going to lose weight. We're going to make more money. We're going to give more. We're going to make a commitment. We're going to do, okay, but we're going to pray. But the bottom line with this is that I don't think it's so much about breaking old bad habits. I think it's about just starting new great habits. You know, if you're here and you'll think, man, I'm gonna lose some weight. Well, instead of your goal losing weight, why don't your goal just eating right? You know, if you make a goal, I can plan to eat right. Matter of fact, I have. You know, and what I did, I made it competitive in my life where I thought, you know what, the Bible says, put a knife to your throat if you're given to appetite. So that's what I did. But then you look at it, I had to bring it into my world. See, in running this church, it was about 20 years ago that I just thought, I don't know, this thing keeps growing and growing and people keep coming and there's different kinds of people and it's from A to Z. It's like the United Nations in this church. And I thought, God, you're going to have to bring somebody in here to lead it. And then I realized, wait a second, there's a leader on the inside of me. I just have to be him. I just have to be the leader God's created me to be. And I put it into terms that I could understand so that I could communicate it. In the ideology of it, I brought it into a space where it's like, okay, I could lead in this space. And you know what it did? It put things over the top for me in my heart. And the next thing you know, the church was rolling and growing and people are thriving. But the attitude of my life is, that, man, we have to give ministry away. It's not so much just to get you to serve somewhere. Yeah, that's not even the what that is that's the blocks that you set to line up for the race. That's the initial serving part of it. Just getting involved, shaking somebody's hand, say, okay, I'll do what I can do initially to get kind of plugged into the church. But that's right. But the first step then is that you take on some leadership. You take on some ministry. You take on some responsibility. And see, and what happens is when we take responsibility, you should write this down, God provides new opportunity. See, God's not going to provide new opportunity for us if we're stale or if we're just sitting waiting on it. See, us waiting upon the Lord isn't us being passive and stationary. Us waiting upon the Lord is like, it's the same kind of idea of somebody waiting tables. Is there anything I could do for you? Is there anything that I could get for you? Can I refill your water? Can I get you a cup of coffee? Would you care for dessert? See, that's how we're waiting upon the Lord. Is we're waiting on him like we would if we were part of the wait staff. And that's what we are. The staff, the elders, the leaders, the people that are involved in the church here. Man, we're just the wait staff of the church. Man, God's delivering the meal. Man, there's so many times, more times than not, people come and say, oh my gosh, man, that message just, it changed my life. It's just for me. And I'm thinking, oh, that's perfect. And I'm thinking, man, I must have done a good job. And they say, yeah, especially that when you said this, and they'll tell me something that I said that changed their life. And I'm like, dear God, that's good. I wish I'd have said that. But see, what happens is that God begins to speak to us. You know, it's not this ethereal thing where Paul said, it's not me who speaks, but Christ who speaks in me. Man, the truth of that is the word begins to take over. The word begins to do a work in our lives. Man, it's the sword of the Spirit. See, we're in a battle, and the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but mighty unto God for the pulling down of strongholds. What is that? It's just us proclaiming God's word. And it's not just us going through the motions. It's not just positive thinking or saying kind things. No, you know what it is? Man, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's powerful, God's word is. And when we speak it, guess what? Strongholds come down. But what we've got to do, the repetition of that, it's just like that race, man. We're setting you up. And you take that first step out of the blocks, man, you want to be out front. But I'll tell you, the idea of that race is how you finish. What Jesus, what the writer of Hebrews says is, in the Amplified, it says, looking away from the distractions, looking to Jesus. You're going through something right now. You're dealing with something right now. Looking to Jesus. Now listen, and the New King James says, author and finisher. Here it says, the leader and the source of our faith. Write that down. Leader and source. He's giving us incentive to believe. That this changes everything if you really listen. Man, that God's word gives us incentive to believe in him. Man, that Jesus now is the author and finisher. He's the author. He is the leader and the source of our faith. Oh my gosh, wait a second. I'm taking responsibility for my decisions, but I don't have to take responsibility as the source of it. See, that's where I come in line and I couple with Jesus. That's where I become a joint heir. That's where I become a part of the commission of taking the field. But and is also, listen, here's the B side of that verse. He's the finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. The finisher. He's the leader, the source, and the finisher of our faith. See, I think a lot of times we look at it, yeah, I could wrap my mind around him being the leader. I can wrap my mind around him being the source. But then he throws in that part that he's the finisher of our faith. I'm just going to tell you, and I believe it to be prophetically this morning, that your life is going to be full of good finishes this year. Good finishes. And you know what? Yeah, the way you start, you don't want to be playing from behind all the time. Right now, you might be. Right now, you might be playing catch up. You know, I don't open up a can of worms here. I'm not talking about the whole body of work, but I love something that Baker Mayfield said yesterday in an interview. You know, he was ill. He was raspy. He wasn't going to do an interview. coaches and players started having to answer for him, and he was in his hotel room recovering, and he got in a van, and he went to the press conference, and he said, because I don't want my teammates and my coaches to have to answer for me anymore. I'm going to answer for myself. One of the first questions somebody asked him, you couldn't hear the question. I could assume what it was. But the answer, I'm telling you, his face turned, his expression changed, and he said, don't be confused. We're not underdogs. Evidently, the question was, how are you going to this game as an underdog? And he turned, his chin set. He said, we're not underdogs. And I want to tell you that today. You're not an underdog. You hear me? You're not living a life where you're coming from behind. Today, because you're paying attention, you're listening to God's word, you're taking all of this in, you're going to capture it in your heart, you're going to hide it or capture it in your heart. Guess what? You get out front now. And the idea of this is that Jesus is the finisher of our faith. He's going to bring good finishes into our life. Can you receive that today? You've got to receive it. See, this isn't so much taught as it's caught. There's times we come in here and there's teaching. Man, this is something where it's just soft toss. It's like, look, man, here, catch this. What do you got to do? You got to keep your eye on the ball. You got to look it in your hands. You got to tuck it. And then what do you do when you have that ball? Man, you put your foot in the dirt and you cut up field and you get some yards. See, everybody in here today is going to be entitled to have a new set of downs, a first down. Some even may even score. But I'm just telling you, God's going to bring good finishes in your life. And I'm going to show you how God takes responsibility for the finishing of things in our lives. Remember Jesus there in the ministry trail, and man, they'd been going after it and going after it and going after it, and they hadn't eaten. And the disciples said, man, we're hungry. Jesus has got to be famished. He's the one doing all the work. So they walked over to Jesus and said, man, we got to get you some food. And Jesus' response was really interesting. Yet he was hungry. He said, I have food that you don't know of. And it was so real and literal to those guys that they turned to each other and said, who gave him food? Who's got food? You had food? How come you didn't give me any food? You Bogarting this food? Just you and Jesus eating now? How come I don't get any food? But he said, I have food that you don't know of. And he said this, now listen, my food is to do the will of he who sent me. And if we think about that, we think, oh, that's almost poetic. But then you know what? Then that sword came out and he said, and to finish his work. My food is to do the will of he who sent me and to finish his work. God's called us to be finishers. I believe above anything. I believe that ministry throughout all the generations of the church, of which there's four now, there's four sets of generations in our church today. And of all those generations, I believe that people are just looking for finishers. People that are looking for not just getting their sin forgiven, but also to turn and take up their bed and walk. Take up their bed and take it to the house. Fold up their mat and walk away. Not just to beg alms at the gate, but to actually run and jump, leap and praise God. See, that's the finishing touches that God puts in our life. See, that's got to be our prayer for 2018. God, I thank you for the finishing touches of my life. God, I thank you for the finishing touches of the victory, God, that I live in as a trophy of Christ's victory. In Romans 12:21, Paul writes, and I believe that we can look at this from a different angle and maybe even receive something fresh and new from this. Don't become overcome by evil. But listen, overcome evil with good. There are none good except God. What's the gospel? Literally, how do we translate the gospel's the good news. We overcome evil with good. Don't become overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. You might have an evil storm in your life or an attack in your life, or the enemy's tried to lie to you into thinking that you're in the corner and you've been backed into a corner and there's no way out. But I'm here to tell you that you can overcome evil with good. You just have to speak the word. You speak the word, guess what happened? That sword starts slicing stuff up. It's sharper than anything else on the planet. But see, let me just tell you this. You have good finishes on your horizon. You have good finishes coming. I'll just tell you, I believe that us paying the debt off in this church and paying the mortgage in this church is going to cause an effect, a percussive effect across this church, where you're going to see a dynamic where people are having things paid off and supernaturally. But let me just tell you, man, you've got to set that starting block. You've got to drive out of it and take that first step. You got to get out in front as quickly and as you got to be eager to come off that block. You can't look at this like a calf at a new gate. You can't just step through it. No, you know what you've got to do? You've got to be aggressive with your faith this year. You've got to be aggressive. You can't slap fight with it anymore. I'm telling you, you got to pull that sword. And what you've got to do is you've got to start slicing. And that's the idea. That's what God's given us. See, we pull that sword out. Guess what? You're going to be in a fight. But you know what? You always prevail. Remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:14, but thanks be to God who always causes us to, what does he cause us to triumph? Who always causes us to triumph and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge in every place. We're not just conquerors with him. What are we? What are we? We're more than conquerors. If we're conquerors, we win. If we're more than conquerors, we know we win. See, and you look at it, you think, well, that's cocky. Well, that's overconfident. I'm telling you today, it's time, and write this time down. It's time for you to be overconfident. It's time for you to let the good that God's given you in your life overcome the evil that's all around you in the world. Man, there's sin, there's sickness, there's premature death, there's lying, there's deceit, there's gossip, there's all kinds of stuff. And guess what? Your good is going to overcome all of it. And that's what God's promised us. Man, in Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 16th verse. You know, it's interesting. There's probably 20 messages just in this verse where Paul writes and he said, look, and it's almost a plea. And I'll tell you, you really should take notice and sit up when Paul begins to plead with us. I beg you, brothers, that don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Like he talks like that. But Galatians 5:16, he said, I say then, listen, it's a plea to him. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk, live in the Spirit. You know, the Bible says that that the sons of God, those are the ones that are led by the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit, then you're a son of God. I can walk and I can live in the Spirit. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me now. Man, I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror because I'm overconfident in the work that God's doing in my life. I'm overconfident in what he's put my hand to. The Bible says everything we put our hand to prospers. Everything we put our hand to, we take control of. See, quit trying to think that, man, I'm just in the back seat. I'm just, no, let me just tell you right now, man, you're in the driver's seat and it's time for you to get in the left lane and put the pedal to the metal. It's time for you to throw that throttle back and live your life as one who wins every single day of your life. But let me tell you, your life, it's got to be, you want new life? How many of you guys want new life? How many of you tell me you want new life? Man, it's new habits. It's what we do habitually. That's the life that we live. Man, I'm not good at breaking old habits, but I am great. I'm great at starting new habits. God wants to do a new thing in our life. And then he said this, listen, shall you not know it? Aren't you going to know the new thing? Man, it's time for new habits. Man, I'll tell you, the bottom line, I remember I was playing on the Western U.S. rugby team and we were training and we started going like 45 minutes before practice and we'd run, we'd do sprint work and man, we'd run and man, we'd be all lathered up. We'd be sweaty and, man, almost worn out. And then practice would start. You know, and then finally I turned to this guy that was an Eagle. He played for the U.S. team from here in Tulsa. And he and I were dear friends, David Skidmore. And I said, David, why are we doing this? He said, because everybody trains, but nobody we're going to play against is going to do this extra work. And I thought about that. I thought, in my life, that's how we have to be. We have to be extraordinary, extraordinarily prepared. Are you prepared for the next fight? Are you prepared for the next battle? Are you prepared for the next storm? If you are, guess what? That storm is going to come and that storm is going to go. How many storms hit your life in 2017? Probably 20. And look, where are you? You're here right now. We don't just navigate through the storm. We don't just take it in the teeth. Man, us overcoming in the storm is showing the devil, you can't stop me. I'm an unstoppable force. I'm indefatigable. I am not going to wear down. I am not going to burn out. You know why? You know why people burn out? Because they don't live in the Spirit. What's the Spirit? The Spirit's the oil that's in our lamp. And you know what? You might be here today and you're living your life just burning from that wick that has been soaked for years in that oil, but you got no oil left in your life. I'll tell you, let's go into 2018 with a lamp full of oil. So that our light so shines before men that it glorifies God. And what does light always overcome? Darkness. Light is undefeated against the darkness. But the church, some of you guys were raised in church and were scared of the dark. Oh, the darkness is getting so much darker and you bought into all that bull. I'm telling you, it's just all it does is tickle ears. Man, you need the church because, the world is so wrong and the world is so treacherous. No, you need the church because we're going to change the dadgum world. Man, there's people in it. That's why you need the church. You know what God's plan for our life is? It's for us to flourish in Him. And how does the Word say that we flourish, that we're planted in His house? Man, that's why we've got to make this the soil of this church so incredibly fertile and hydrated that you sow your life in here. You don't have any choice but to flourish. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Man, if we're sons, we're heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. The works that He will do, but greater because He's with the Father now. Let me ask you a simple question. Are you a son of God? And that's daughter, son, daughter, girl, boy. Are you a son of God? Are you an offspring of God? Answer.
Yes.
Are you a son of God?
Yes.
See, you wake up every day. I'm a son of God. Doesn't matter what happened to me yesterday or last week or last month. I'm a son of God today. See, because then we're led by the Spirit. If you're a son, then you're led by the Spirit. That's how you qualify to be the offspring of God, is that you're led by His Spirit. The Bible says this, we hear His voice and another voice we won't follow. But you know what? I don't think that we put ourselves in a position often enough to hear that still small voice. Remember in the Old Testament where it said, man, there was lightning and thunder, there was fire, there was an earthquake, and none of it was God. See, the world wants to say that, man, the fire, that must have been the will of God. That hurricane, that tornado must have been God. God's not in any of that. You know where He is? He's in that still small voice. You know what you've got to do? You've got to quiet your life. You've got to get your life. What does that require? That requires discipline. A disciplined place. You might have to throw your phone in the lake. Man, the first thing you do in the morning, I just need to get in prayer. Really? Have you checked your Facebook? If you've checked your Facebook, you can discipline yourself to get in prayer. But see, we understand that we got to put first things first. And we've got to put God first. Man, Matt Surratt wanted to freak out. His flesh wanted to freak out. He wanted to start making calls. He wanted to start, no, I'm going to let this come to me. And what happened? He got a dozen calls within 24 hours. And the devil, I guarantee you, that whole time the devil's trying to twist his arm. The devil's trying to deceive him into freaking out. I don't know about you, but bad things start happening. Or I see things on the horizon that aren't going to work, don't look like they're going to work out well for me. I want to freak out. I want to live by the arm of the flesh rather than by the fruit of the Spirit. But you know what? I don't want to take life into my own hands. I want to dive into Him. I want His glory to fill this place. That's what we sang today. Why? Because Jesus, listen, is our leader, our source, and our finisher. 2018. We're led by the Spirit. We're not freaking out. What's going to happen? Something. Yeah, but what do we do when bad news is when bad news comes? No, bad news is coming. That's why we have to turn to the good news. See, our thought life matters. But what overcomes thoughts isn't better thoughts. What overcomes thoughts are words. And words then, with our tongue being the rudder of our lives, how we steer our lives, that those words become our actions. And those actions that we repeat become our habits. And I believe the habits of our lives is what determines the level of life that we live at. It's just create new habits. You're not too young to, you're not too old to. Man, I'm just telling you, so, I mean, you're raising kids, you got a toddler. Man, you walk to that front door, you walk to out of your house to go outside. You got your hand out like this saying, hey, grab a hand. Why? Because we hold hands in the parking lot. Why? Because people don't pay attention to little kids in the parking lot. Kids get hit, they get struck in the park. I don't want my kid getting hit by a car. So what? Hold my hand. They're going to see me. I'm 6'1" and tons of fun. So you know what? Man, that's Cherry Hill Boy. It's not Cherry Hill. What's the name of that band? I need some old people. It's like the original rap song. Come on, you guys. Get with it. But now I got a mental block. I can't even think of that band. Hold hands in the parking lot. Why? It keeps us safe. What do we make a habit of it? Was it awkward when Taylor was 15 years old and I'd say, hey, we're in the parking lot. Grab a hand. Dad, are you kidding me? But you know what? I want him doing that with his kids. Just habits. And it's simple little habits. You hear people say, man, don't sweat the small stuff. No, that's what we tend to. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's those first few minutes when you come home at the end of the day and how you greet your wife, how you greet your kids. And you send a message to your kids. You come in that door at the end of the day. Your kids come running up and say, daddy, daddy, daddy. Hey, give me a minute. I got to see your mama first. They're like, oh, okay. There's an order to this home. You know what happens? There's a peace, there's a strength that comes into that kid's life when he sees his mom and dad hanging out just for a couple minutes. And give your wife a hug. Put on a show for your kid. And then turn to your kid, man, what do you need? See, this is how this works. Just little habits. Let's create some good ones. Let's be led by the Spirit of God. I promise you today, you go back through your notes. It's why it's important for you to take notes at church. You go back through your notes. God spoke to you today. God had a mouthful for you today. You receiving it today? God, we just thank you for your word. God, I thank you that Jesus is who we look to away from all the distractions of our lives. God, he becomes the author and the finisher. He becomes the leader, the source, and the finisher of our faith. And God, we choose today to be great finishers. God, we're going to finish for you. No matter what we've done up to this point, God, we're going to start new. God, the new thing you're doing in our lives, God, the fresh life that you've given us. God, we're healed. We're saved. We're delivered. We're made whole. We've got nothing missing and nothing broken in our lives. God, there's so much hope. All we have to do is be prepared to receive the opportunity that we are just going to glide into. If you're here today and you need prayer in your life, just something you're dealing with, you have been dealing with, and you just like to put an axe to the root of it going into this new year. Maybe you're here and you need to give your life to the Lord, get your life right with God. Maybe you're here and you want to slip your head out of that noose that's been around your neck. This is not a year you want that noose to tighten up on you. This is a year where you run and you jump and you praise God. This is a year where your enemies are scattered. This is a year where the light comes into your life. The light of God becomes your light and life and overcomes all the darkness around your life. Not a fairy tale, it's truth. God's word works. It just has to be abundantly clear in our lives. We just have to focus on it. It's got to be clarity and focus, and then we just go live it and execute it. If you're here and you need prayer today in your life, just raise your hand. There's going to be a ton of hope that's going to come into your life, if you need to make Jesus Lord of your life, raise your hand. Everybody in this room, I'm going to pray, and I'd like you to just repeat this prayer with me. A few people raised their hands for some reason. But here's how I'm going to pray. And it's what's customary in this church. All of God we can get. How many guys today can raise your hand and say, I want all of God I can get? That's where we're at. All of God we can get. Pray with me. God, I come to you in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, the name that I put the trust of everything in my life, that's where I put it, the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that I'm saved, I'm healed, I'm delivered, I'm set free. Fear doesn't have a place in my life because I'm full of faith, I'm full of trust, I'm strong in you, God, and the power of your might. Jesus Christ is Lord of my life and whom I trust. I choose today to repent, to turn my back on sin, to turn my back on fear, on guilt, on regret, and to walk with Jesus. My life has been made whole. My house has been swept clean. God, fill me with every great thing that you're about. Fill me with your Spirit, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for joining us today and saying adios to 2017. If you make it till midnight tonight, that's my plan. Let's have a great year. I'm not kidding you. I'm so stoked about coming out. I say if you've been flat on the mat, we're coming off that mat. And I'm just telling you, our Daniel fast, 30 days of 30 minutes of prayer in the Word, and that those healed services are going to be lay a knockout punch for the enemy in your life. I mean, January could be a month that you've never seen anything like it. Can you receive that today?
Yes.
Great finishes. 2018, a year of great finishes. I hate the devil. Will you join me in hating him?
Yes.
I want to call him out every chance I get. You're better right now than when you came in here today. That's how strong God's word is. I'm better than when I came in here today. God's so amazing. So amazing. I'm supposed to go sit down now, but I'm just proud of you. Just thank God for you in my life and the life of this church. Let's win the world to Jesus. You with me?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.